wouldn't you just love, for those of you who are sitting in the garden, if you are sitting in the garden this early, well done on that anyway. And that's Frank Sinatra and The Summer Wind, and dedicated especially to Aidan McAlinden and to Claire MacDonald getting married in Newbridge today. We wish you long life and happiness, and that comes in from Granny and Deirdre. Lovely stuff, I have to say. What else have we got? A message came in. Clem, the reason for the hot weather is called summer. Regards, says Brendan Byrne in Hackettstown. You know, one of the things that, by the way, has been intriguing me over years, I always learned that January, February, March was spring. No, I didn't. What way did I learn it? June, July, August. No, May, June, July was, yeah, now I have it. That February, March, April was spring. May, June and July was summer. August, September, October was autumn. And winter would be November, December and January. I think that's all changed now, hasn't it? Well, I suppose the one that certainly can tell us, I'm sure, is Evelyn Cusick. So as the forecasts and temperatures rise right across the weekend, and we're in for extremely hot weather, of course, tied around all of that is why. What's going on with the seasons as we see major flooding in Germany? People nearly beyond recognition in terms of the heat wave that went on in Canada and everything else. The poles, we're told, are melting, and people asking, well, what's going on and what's happened the seasons? Well, first and foremost, anyway, we're in for some very, very hot weather over the next 5 or 6 days here in Ireland. And joining me is Head of Forecasting with Met Aaron, a voice and a face, of course, recognisable on your TV screens for many, many years, Evelyn Cusick. Good morning, Evelyn, and welcome to KFM Radio.
Good morning, Clem. Thanks very much for having me on. It's great. You know, normally I'm forecasting snow for Kildare, so it's great to be able to forecast some warm weather.
And warm weather is what we have forecast. We'll come to that maybe towards the end of the chat this morning as to what's going to happen in this country over the next couple of days. But Evelyn, worldwide, what's happening? Those floods in Germany, that extreme heat wave in Canada and other parts of the United States, and we know what's going on with the ice caps at the poles as well.
Yeah, well, climate change is real and it's happening. Global temperatures are rising, and in a warming world you get much more moisture in the air, you get the weather systems changed about. So the extreme heat in Canada, unprecedented, literally parts of Canada were melting, and of course, all the way up from California up to the Arctic, really, this extreme heat. Thankfully, Ireland will never get temperatures of 40 or close to 50 degrees because we're surrounded by water. You know, the sea temperatures are at this time of year in the mid, perhaps at the most, the high teens. So we are protected from that. But, we will be subject to changes, and indeed we are subject to changes in our weather patterns as well. And we are possibly and probably at risk for some extreme events, at any time, really, because climate change is real and it is happening now. The rain in Belgium and Germany, due to a stalling weather system, a lot of moisture in the troposphere above it. Rainfall in southeast Belgium was 125 millimetres and a couple of hundred millimetres in parts of West Germany. So that's dreadful there, and unfortunately the rain system has moved away, but the flooding still persists.
Big temperatures forecast, Evelyn, across the weekend and into middle of next week.
Oh, next week, yeah. Look, the temperatures we're going to get sort of ranging 23 to 27. Now, these are shade temperatures, so they're actually higher in your south-facing back garden. But, temperatures in Spain and Portugal and the Mediterranean at this time of year are into, high 30s. So our heat wave is a more manageable one for us. But nonetheless, I found it very warm yesterday. So we're all going to feel very warm or even hot. And that's because it's a humid air mass. And the reason for this fine weather is it's called the Azores High. Now, it's called the Azores High because it's normally down at the Azores. So it's pushing up. It's building right up over Ireland. Now, if you go on the Met Aaron website and see our analysis, you can see a big H over Ireland. And what H means is there's descending air in the atmosphere. It's stable air. So it pushes. It's like a block an anticyclone block, so it's blocking out the Atlantic rain belts and keeping them away from us. So we're going to get fine, settled weather for the weekend. And maybe as far as Thursday, what looks like happening, it's going to be warm all next week, as you said, there, and quite humid. And then maybe a thundery, some rain breaking in from the Atlantic and the south, bringing some thundery outbreaks maybe for next weekend. But between now and later on in next week, dry, warm and sunny. But not for everyone, because it is a humid air mass, there will be some mist or drizzle on some upslopes on hills and mountains, and maybe some patches of sea fog as well. So there will be some localised variations, but for most dry, warm and very sunny.
Indeed. And briefly, because I saw my fellow Clare woman and Michelle Dillon on the screen during the past week talking about the Gulf Stream and how it was playing a part in our cooler temperatures.
Maybe she was talking about the jet stream, was she?
Yes, that's fine.
Well, that's what I was saying. The jet stream has pushed north, and it's allowed... The Azores High is a clear, dry area that's normally down there. So the jet stream has pushed north now, and that high has built up.
All right.
Like, we don't want droughts. You know, we actually had a drought there. You know, we were on the edge of a really severe European hot spell in 2018 due to climate change. And, you know, we don't want that. But our predictions are, in fact, that, you know, our summers will be getting warmer and drier. So, you know, we'll have to deal with that. So, look, we want some fine weather, don't we? But not all the time.
All right. Well, if you, on the serious element of things, skin cancer is a very prevalent condition in this country at this stage and rising. And really, people need to be very careful this weekend.
Thank you for bringing that up. I mean, Matern are working with the HSE, sorry. And, you know, at this time of year, look, this is high summer. So the UV index is high or very high. It doesn't matter. Forget about the index. You're going to burn, right? So with, depending on your skin type, but for sensitive skin, I mean, you'll burn in 20 minutes if you go out in that sun, right?
Wow.
Especially now between 11 and 3, and I know that seems a big stretch, but look, the days are very long. There's 14 hours in the day. You know, it's sunny from 6 o'clock in the morning until, you know, 9 o'clock in the evening. So the high burn times at this time of year is between 11 and 3. So especially with children, you know, try and keep them in the shade or long sleeves and, you know, all the factors and all that. So that's a big thing. So for the next week now, the UV index high to very high, so burning.
Wear the sunscreen is the big, big message, and
the
very high
up.
Factor, and the hats, and the cover-up, and everything in relation to that as well. Evelyn, it's great to talk to you. I know you have a conference now imminent, and indeed, we'll say hello to one of our Kildare people, or at least residing among us here in Kildare, the head of Met Éireann, Owen Moran, as well.
Yeah, Owen's doing a fabulous job at Met Éireann, and thank you for having us on. And just one last thing, we were talking there about safety at the water. So,
oh, yes, indeed.
So I know you're going to mention that later.
Yes, we are, Evelyn, indeed going to mention that later, because John Leach, the CEO of, and thanks, Evelyn, indeed, for all that information, very valuable. I can't believe you'll burn in 20 minutes in this weather. So you have been warned now in regards to that. We'll have John Leach, the CEO of the Irish Water Association, Water Safety Ireland, I should say, on in the next 15 minutes or so. And he has a lot of caveats for people this particular weekend. We've heard too many cases of people being swept out to sea or drownings or whatever else. So given the weather that was in it, we said we put the focus on the programme this morning. Very informative stuff from Evelyn there. When you think of those temperatures in Canada, 50 degrees, the heat was so unbearable, people dying from it. And then look at Germany, houses collapsing. There are people out there who say we're not undergoing climate change. All the evidence is to the contrary. Now, mind you, we could do with a lot more of this weather in Ireland during the year, because it seems to be rain, 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 rain. And is weather the most talked about topic in Irish life? I suspect it is.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. KFM.
Okay, welcome back. Anne and Pat want to send best wishes to the Druids, Kildare's foremost ballad group, on a recent interview they did on national radio, and saying very, very good and very, very informative and educational as well. Okay, now we're going to, as I say, all of that stuff is ahead, but let's say good morning to Social Democrats councillor on the Naas Municipal District, Bill Clear. How are you doing, Bill?
Good morning, Claire. Morning, everybody.
And thank you for joining us on this beautiful morning. Bill, you had four motions that I see you brought to the meeting. You want the council to install speed signs on all approach roads into Naas. Bill, am I mistaken or whatever? I thought that would be a given anyway, that there would be speed signs on all approach roads into Naas, not just Naas, but every town in the county and country.
Yeah, well, these are what's called electronic speed signs. These indicate what speed you are doing and when you're going too fast. So we have them in salons and they're working really well. You know, people tend to not realise, most people tend to not realise the speed they're doing, you know, and it'll flash green, thank you, or red, too fast, you know, because cars are quieter, you know, they're faster, and, you know, electric cars are, I have one myself, and you really don't even know what speed you're doing because they're so quiet, you know, and you could be exceeding the speed limit very easily. So what we want, there's five approach roads into Naas, and we'd like, well, I've got it on the progress report, so it will happen. So
are they amenable to it, the council?
Yeah. It's just a funding issue, and that's put it into the budget and it will be done. It's just one of these things that needs to be done to just indicate people, you know, maybe slow down, you know, you're exceeding it, and, you know, and exceeding the speed, you know, and it's the right thing to do, you know, and I think it's coming with a number of issues, you know, 30 kilometre an hour in the centre of town, a 5-axle ban in the centre of town, which is shockingly badly needed. There's too many trucks.
Well, your councillor colleague, and indeed your Salins colleague, Carmel, was talking about something on that with Owen earlier.
Yeah.
And you want a truck ban in Salins, Bill?
Yeah, I think we have the bypass now. There's no real reason for it. The trucks to be going through the town unless they're delivering.
Did I get a message lately from some listener who said trucks were ignoring the new bypass and still coming through the town?
Yeah, I think there's a number of issues. A lot of trucks, because of sat navs, use their sat navs, and sometimes if traffic is light through the village, the sat nav will send them through there, you know. So the only way to kind of stop that is to put in, you know, what's called a truck ban. And so that's it. They are coming in. Actually, traffic in some stages, they are worse than Salins, because they can fly through it, you know.
Are the council talking about some kind of weight qualification or parameter?
Well, it's a 5-axle ban, so but the normal for 5, there's one in Johnstown and Kill and a few other places around the county. If there is an alternative road, they direct them onto that unless they're delivering. It's called 5-axle ban. It's in a number of places in the country, and because the Salins bypass now, there's no need for them to come through the village, you know. And look, Salins has had a torrent time with, you know, fatalities, you know, and the road safety group set up to them have done tremendous work, and they're all in favour of this as well.
And are we going to get, Bill, as you mentioned road safety, by the way, are we going to get, or has there been any resolution to what you and I discussed originally about the danger for cyclists coming down one of the filter lanes, which is at a 90-degree angle to the motorway, and they could end up inadvertently just heading straight onto oncoming traffic?
Yeah, anyway, after your show, they went out and they put a bit of chicken wire fence up there, you know. But you still go about 100 metres, very close proximity to, you know, it's a dual carriageway for all intents and purposes, you know, very, very close. So I'm looking for a proper green type fence to put up there. So there's a huge amount of issues with the Salins bypass for pedestrians and cyclists. And I think we're just waiting for the contractor to finish and go away and come back and fix them. Okay. It's not ideal, but that's the way it is.
You want a park for local people, what you call an age-friendly, disability-friendly park for local people at Áras Kildare in the front of the council building?
Yeah, I mean, if anybody looks into the front of Áras Kildare, there is a beautiful green area there with nice planting and some seating, you know. But it needs to be upgraded, really. And look, is it? I think And people, it's kind of a park lends itself to, you know, quietness and peaceful and tranquilness. So I was, you know, if we put in some benches, put more better footpaths in there, and you know, nice seating, and you know, something for older people, sensory garden, you know, they can go in and relax. That kind of a thing. It'll, you know, we have a number of parks throughout Naas, you know, and Tallinn, and I think maybe that, you know, an age friendly disability park would be brilliant, and it would be a good thing to do for the council. You know, I mean, that building costs 80 million or something, so it's not going to cost anything close to that, just to push, you know, to make it more.
How much did you say Oris Kildare cost?
80 million back in the day, yeah.
As in 8-0?
8-0, yeah.
80 million euro, my good God,
yeah,
right.
I know, even back then there's a lot of money, but anyway,
that's
listen,
back in the day, as you say. Let's move from Salins.
We are where we are.
Yeah, we are where we are, is right. Let's move from Salins into Naas Town Centre. And Breen, your Labour colleague, has been often on the programme complaining about Poplar Square and stuff there. You want the council to outline the next steps for Poplar Square by way of public realm improvements.
Yeah, I would take a more positive view on that, you know, and I think the square has been a fantastic success, you know, and you know, there was a couple of small issues, and we had a meeting with the guards, the locals, the traders, and you know, they were sorted out, and we had extra bins there, and I just wanted to get kind of see what we're doing, continuing on, you know, to make it even better, you know, and just to put it into context, you know, I mean, I pushed this when nobody was, you know, pushing it to get rid of parking. It's highly contentious, but it went from 90% against to 90% for, you know, even more for. And we've been kind of checking out times and measuring that, you know, how many people are using the area, you know, at different times of day, you know. And we come up with a figure of nearly 80,000 people have sat down at those benches since they were put in, you know. I mean, we would, you know, a couple of parking spaces wouldn't have got that many people to do it. And that's that many people who've come into town, you know. So what we really want is sort of put in more lighting, more umbrellas, nice cycle racks. There'll be nice ones. There won't be just things. So look, it's improvement, change of surface, and you know, we must stay positive with these things. So we must remember, we have no public ground spells in the middle of Naas at all, and we need it, and we need it in Salins as well. It's another area we need our towns, and the motions are coming in front of the councillors, and you might see a pattern here, and you know, stuff. So everybody wants more of. There's places. If you drive anywhere, you'll see seats outside places that you never saw seats outside.
Yeah, I think it's one of the unintended consequences of the COVID situation.
Yeah.
And I think one of the pleasant developments is to see all these outdoor facilities coming on stream and badly needed, and long may it continue. Social Democrats Councillor Bill Clear on the motions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill, on the motions he brought to this week's meeting of the Municipal District. Owen.
Yes, thanks, Clem, and hopefully we get the weather that we're expected and have been promised over the course of the weekend. But of course, when the sun comes out, there is indeed some health risks involved, including sunburn, which we've talked about on the programme, but also around the issue of water safety, and a topic that we have spoke about on the programme many times before. But to discuss it again, I'm joined on the line by John Leach. He's the CEO of Water Safety Ireland. John, many thanks for joining us on the programme this morning.
Yeah, good morning, Owen. And a great pleasure to be on air with you and your listeners again. And yeah, the weather, as you know, at the moment is just, we're actually getting a summer this year, which is fantastic. And there's been a lot of aquatic activities so far. And we have had a few fatalities, fatal drownings, unfortunately. But on the whole, there's been a lot of rescues, which is really good news. And our lifeguards are very, very busy. And speaking of lifeguards, we really do want people who are casual swimmers, who are not very experienced swimmers, to go to the lifeguard at beaches and rivers and lakes. And if you're going to beaches, there's a whole list of them on watersafety.ie/lifeguards. And so there's lots of areas to go to, and we recommend that most people would go to those. However, not everybody can go to a lifeguard at beach, so what we would say in that case is go to what we refer to as a traditional bathing area, and that would be where people have been swimming for maybe 100 years and more, and where you'll see at least one yellow box and a ring buoy, maybe more, and where it's a shallow shelving, so you can walk in up to your waist, and then you can swim within your depth, and then stay within your depth. Very, very important. The other piece of advice I would give is don't ever jump into cold water if you're not used to it, or if you come out of a hot car, because that can bring on cold shock. And cold shock is when you lose that sense of your breathing, and you then end up sucking water into your lungs, which can bring on panic, obviously, and regrettably drowning. So be very, very careful jumping into water. Make sure that you're well used to it before you would do it. We also recommend, even as you walk down into the water to get into it, throw some over the back of your neck. That helps you prepare prepared for the cold shock, and they are less likely to take that, you know, that uncontrollable sort of breathing impact you get, and the dizziness, and that can lead, unfortunately, to panic. So for bathers, that's what we want them to do this weekend. For those going out on any sort form of craft, be it canoes, kayaks, sailing, cruising on the Shannon, whatever it is, please wear your buoyancy aid or life jackets right throughout the weekend. They save lives so much. I mean, so much so that I'm not sure if you're aware, your listeners are aware, but last year we had 76 drownings, and that compares with 105 drownings in 2019. And it's the lowest, in fact, since 1936, when we had 2 million less people in our country. We are making progress, but we want to further reduce the number of drownings, and by people taking personal responsibility and doing these things that we're just discussing at the moment, lives will be saved. And that really is important.
Yeah, of course, John. And I mean, one death is one too many, but of course it is great to see the progress being made. I suppose there might be a sense of complacency as well with people when we flock to beaches, rivers or public bathing areas to think that this won't happen to me, and I'm a strong swimmer, and you know, I'll be okay once I get into the water. But it can happen to anyone on any given day.
Yeah, that's a point really well made, Owen, because you're absolutely right. You know, in terms of complacency, you know, people, it tends to be with males, unfortunately. In other words, almost 80% of all drownings, they will be males. And males tend to have a different attitude than their female counterparts when it comes to water safety. So don't ever take water for granted. Respect the water and respect what you're doing around it, and make sure you have adequate training for whatever discipline it is, you know, be it kayaking or be it sailing. Don't just go and buy a kayak and take it off irresponsibly down a river or a lake or off the beach. If you go to our website, there's a nice portal, and if you go through that portal, it brings you to all the various national governing bodies for all the aquatic sports. It's on the front page. It's called a safety zone, and if you go through that, you can learn about the various disciplines. But also, even on our own website, there's so much information on, for instance, kayaking and sailing. We recommend people do get training if they're going to do anything that's going to be adventurous. So caution is definitely the word. Wearing a life jacket on any craft, and as we said already, go to the lifeguarded beaches and waterways. That's the safest place to swim, where you've got really world-class trained lifeguards who will look after your family and look after you.
Just two final points that I'd like to make on this then, John, and indeed we get messages in from listeners quite regularly as well. One would be, the advice, I'm sure, is to go swimming in groups. Don't swim alone in case you do get into difficulty. But then on the flip side of that coin is, if you're with somebody that gets into difficulty, we often see it in the news and in our newspapers where somebody tries to help somebody who's in difficulty and they themselves then gets in trouble. So the advice, I'm sure, would be to ring somebody who is qualified and trained in this area.
Well, first of all, always use your voice when somebody gets into trouble. Use your voice first and then reach out to them. And this is why you've got the yellow boxes with the ring boys. Throw the ring boy out to them, the person in distress, rather than going in and putting yourself at risk. And if that is not working, obviously somebody else should be on the phone dialing 112 or 999 and asking for the Coast Guard. And we have four helicopters available to us for search and rescue, and they will literally have a helicopter over your head within 15 minutes. The resources are there. But yeah, always use your voice first and then reach out. If there's no ring boy there, use your jacket to reach out to the person who's in trouble. Use a branch of a tree, whatever is available that you can see around at the time. But I agree, yes, you should swim in groups always, so that when somebody gets into trouble, there's others there to assist them.
Well, of course, you can get more details on the Water Safety Ireland website, which is www.watersafety.ie. It's a fantastic site and a fantastic resource for all the information that you may need if you are planning on going swimming this weekend. And like I say, hopefully we get the weather that we have been promised. But as always, CEO of Water Safety Ireland, John Leach, thanks for taking the time out to talk to us this morning, John.
Thank you very much, Sean.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. KFM.
In a minute or two, we'll be hearing from Tommy Callaghan previewing the Kildare Hurlers tomorrow against Meath, the Kildare Footballers on a Sunday against Westmeath, and the Kildare Women Footballers also on Sunday against Laois. Those games to come. But first, it's a very good morning to Nick Dye at Royal St. George's Course in Kent, in England, where the British Open began yesterday, or of course, colloquially known as the Open. And it seems the South African Louis Oosthuizen is the top of the leaderboard at the moment. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Clem. He was entirely by himself at the top of that board after that exquisite round of 64 yesterday. He's got company, though, now, because the US PGA champion, Colin Morikawa, really young player who's right at the top of his game, right up inside the top 10 already, he's just notched his third birdie of the morning, a 15-footer birdie sunk at the 8th to move to 6-under, so joint leaders. Indeed, Morikawa now has a chance, which he buries at the 9th. You've got a new leader.
And what about the Irish? Kind of mixed news there. I think McIlroy is the best of the Irish after yesterday's first round. Shane Lowry, disappointing. Nick, did he bogey the last hole?
It was a struggle for Rory throughout yesterday, but he birdied the last to make sure of level par. He has just started. He's on the second now. But it's not the best of news. It's going to be a struggle again today if he carries on like this. In the rough off the tee, found the green okay, had a decent long putt, but then missed a short one for his par. So he's dropped back to one over. It's not particularly pleasant for Padraig Harrington as one of the early starters here today. Shane and Darren, they're both out much later in the day. And we saw yesterday just how the weather, how the breeze, how the wind, how the warmth changed throughout the course of the day.
And finally, Nick, it is a Lynx course, I understand, from what you're saying there. And what's the weather like there today?
It's always a Lynx course. It's the Open. And it's beautiful right by the coast here. Always immaculately prepared, but always at the whims of the weather. And as things stand, though the forecast did say...
All right.
...really see that.
All right, Nick, thank you for that. Nick Dye, very busy man with that schedule, and you can hear Nick across Sportsbeat tomorrow afternoon and indeed on Sunday Sport, both days between 2 and 6 as well. Nick Dye from the Open. Let's go GAA now. Good morning, Tommy.
Hello, Clem, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Tommy, and another huge weekend ahead, this time for the senior hurlers and senior footballers. Now, tomorrow afternoon, in my preview there, Tommy, I mentioned how... well, Kildare performed in the league, although the naysayers might say, but sure, the opposition was very, very poor. But Kildare could only play what was in front of them.
As you said here on numerous occasions, the number one priority David Hurley had this year was to get out of Division 2B into Division 2A, and that was achieved. The final match was the big one against Mayo, and they came through that. Tough game, but they came through it. And then, of course, it was on to the Joe McDonough. Look at last weekend. It was one of the games of, certainly one of the best John McDonagh Cup games for a fair few years, I'd say. It was a ding-dong battle. Don't forget Kildare playing Westmeath, Kildare in 2B, Westmeath up there at the top table in Division 1. So you're talking about a major gulf, or expected a major gulf in class.
Midway through the second half, Kildare pegged them back again, only to have their hearts broken in injury time with two Westmeath points, Derek McNicholas's last puck of the game winning point.
You know, a win would have been a huge boost. I mean, Meath beat Kerry in the other semi-final. Kerry still progressed.
Hey, let's hear from David Herity first, what he had to say.
A win by 1 point would have had us safe for the year. 4 points would have got us into a Croke Park, into a Joe McDonagh final. Meath in the relegation final next weekend. And that's life. Lads have waited a lot of their lives to play Joe McDonagh and play at this standard, and they're getting an extra game in it. So they just have to get the heads right now, stay positive. If they were playing poorly and getting bet well, you'd be coming in in a different mindset. They're playing bloody well. It's only small little things. It's a small bit of handling or the quickness of hands where we get turned over, but we're actually not getting turned over. We're actually giving them the ball. It's that bit of cuteness where we're kind of nearly shown. This has been an amazing week for Kildare hurling, but hopefully now the minors in their 20s and ourselves now can get 3 wins now next week and keep kicking things on now.
He's echoing the words of Pat English and Owen Stapleton, the managers of the under 20 and minor hurling sides, which were just edged out this past week. And what it implies, of course, is the more top class opposition that Kildare can meet, the better the reaction will become. Yeah,
there's no doubt about that, Clem, and you could see it again last night in the minors and the night before with the under 20s. They're in the game for so long, and then just as well, a little bit of pressure comes on, or when the opposition step up that little bit extra. That's, you can see it's only small little things, an odd pass here. In the seniors, it was probably overhand passing the ball. In the minors and under 20s, it was just maybe a flick of a ball or something very, very small. But the only way that will improve is by playing more matches at the highest level you can play at. And really, I really think it's very, very, not unfair, but to promote hurling, in my opinion, when a team gets to the McDonagh, they should be given grace for 1 year, that they cannot be relegated until after the first year. To get a full year, yes, and then a second year. And then if they're still struggling, you go back to Christie Ring. But that'll be promoting the hurling.
You only get better by playing against those who are better than you. And
That's very true, Clem. But you see, the problem is, in hurling in particular, there's a major clique in hurling within Croke Park, and they're very, very powerful. And there are three or four counties, and they dominate. They decide. Croke Park can probably say otherwise, but there's a major clique there, and it's like a closed shop, Clem.
How do you think they're fixed, injury-wise, key player-wise?
Well, the main doubt the last day was Paul Dibbley. Paul came through that.
He's some warrior altogether.
He's a great warrior. He's still very sore, you understand. Jerry Keegan is another weak. He didn't make it last week. He might be a bit close in this, but Jerry would be very stale because he played very little hurling over the last couple of years. He was very, very unfortunate.
Supremely skilled, though.
Oh, supremely skilled. He came on for the game in Roscommon, I think it was, yeah. The first two strikes of the ball bang over the bar from 50, 60 yards out. Then he picked up a hand injury and he's out since. It's very hard to know what way Meade will be, what frame of mind will be in. You know, to beat Kerry and then not to get into the final and find yourself then in a relegation final. So I suppose, in fairness, it just depends on the mind frames that both teams will be in. Look, yeah, they're going to go into it hammer and tongs. It'll be a fine game, Parnell Park, good enough pitch. Pity again, I would have thought, why not throw it into Croke Park along with the finals, you know, a third game, an early game would have been better, but sure, we can't be criticising as well as all the time.
Scorching day expected, though, Tommy, and that's bound to take its toll on players, with temperatures expected to be between 25 and 27 degrees, and there'll be great demands on them physically. But I would be of a view, Tommy, that at this stage, Herity believes this team is good enough to step up, and I think the players themselves know, following recent games, particularly against Westmeath, that they have the capability to step up, notwithstanding the little things that Herity has identified.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt that Westmeath would be the strong team in this, and for Kildare to run them so close, must give them confidence. I mean, you can hear it there in the clip you played there of David Herity. You know, he's delighted the way they're playing. As he says himself, just a small little thing here and there, and if they can just keep the mistakes to the minimum, hopefully then they can get over the line and retain their status for next year.
Well, full commentary here tomorrow afternoon. You can read the preview in this weekend's Leinster Leader with Tommy, and again reports of the match, of course, on Tuesday's edition. But we'll have full commentary here tomorrow afternoon on Sportsbeat from 2 o'clock with Owen Beattie. Our commentary team in Croke in Parnell Park will be, as usual, of course, Ger McNally and former star Mark Maloney, all brought to you in association with Hanlon Concrete Products of Robertstown. Ger might take his camp across the road then to Croke Park and not bother coming back to Kildare, because he'll be in situ on Sunday along with Peter McConnon and Johnny Doyle for the Leinster Senior Football semi-final. And this time we've talked a lot about Westmeath, this time we're talking about the footballers. But first, let's hear what Jack O'Connor had to say following the Offaly game.
Yeah, it's a tough battle. We were probably slightly undercooked. We had in the game for 3 weeks. you know, the amount of injuries we had, we just had to mind fellas a bit. Told early on, I thought Offaly were at the pace of it a bit better than us, and particularly in the first 20 minutes. We got the grips a little bit with it coming up to half time, and then at half time, we just said we have to up the pace here, lads, because Offaly were dictating the pace. So I think the third quarters were going for us. I'm not sure what the turnaround was. We gave us a small bit of a cushion to drive on. Just delighted. Offaly are a good side, and they were battle hardened after their amount of games ahead. So just delighted to be through it, and I feel the game will stand to us.
You watched that game, Tommy. What did you make of it? Kildare kind of patchy throughout?
A bit patchy. I actually thought Jack O'Connor summed it up well, because Kildare looked a little bit leggy. They looked a bit off the pace, especially the first 20-25 minutes. I suppose, in fairness to Offaly, they were after coming off a good run. Offaly and Kildare, of course, will always be a tight enough game. Last year there was only 4 points in it as well. So it kind of panned out the way I expected. You could see Kildare improving just coming up the half time. And overall, you have to be happy enough with Kildare, with their performance. Hopefully, they'll get out of the traps quicker on Sunday. You can't allow any team now in the Leinster semi-final to get a bit of a run on you. And especially Kildare's record in Croke Park over the last number of years wouldn't be outstanding. In fact, it wouldn't be good at all. But having said that, looking, Westmead had a very poor league, didn't win a match in the league, got relegated. And a good win, had a good win last week, and they're confident it'll be up as well. But I still think that if Kildare turn up, and I believe they practically have a clean bill of health, of course, apart from the unlucky Paul Cribben. But everybody else, I'm told, is at this stage anyway, is available and fit and ready for selection.
All right, let's hear more from Jack O'Connor.
Westmead are going to be good. Like, they had a big win against Leash today, and their tails will be up. So, you know, we're expecting nothing soft there. And they're well organised under Jack Cooney, very very good defensive side. And they have some brilliant individual players, like Seth Heslin and those fellas, get in on any team in the country. So we're expecting a fierce battle there.
Yeah, Kildare they're still not killing teams off. They're still not, I don't know, down the years, Clem, I've seen a time out of number that Kildare are pushed at the end of a game in games that they should have absolutely won and won comfortably, you know, and even Madan to lose some of them. No, you can't afford to do that. If they can get ahead of Westmead and break them early on and put Westmead under a fair bit of pressure, they should have enough for them. On the other hand, if they don't capitalise on their opportunities that no doubt they'll make for themselves, because their forward division is playing very well at the moment. There's a couple of one of the real plus factors, I think, this year, Clem, is they're not relying on any one player. There's at least three matches now. We have three different top scorers, and that's a bonus, especially from a Kildare point of view. And at the back, the Mark Donnell and the defence, the six lads, they're nearly embedded there now together, and they're playing very well. Each and every one of them are playing well. So interesting to see midfield. Luke Flynn will be back available after his one game suspension, whether he starts on the bench or starts in the middle of the field. We'll have to wait and see.
Well, let's see indeed on that basis, because the team has just been announced, and Owen, you have the line-out.
Yeah, and Tommy touched on Luke Flynn there, and I can let you know that the team that has been announced doesn't include Luke Flynn in the starting 15. It is as follows: in goal, Mark Donlan, Maynooth; full back line, Mark Dempsey, Moorfield; Mick O'Grady, Selbridge; Owen Doyle, Nace; half back line, Kevin Flynn, Selbridge; David Highland, Athai; Ryan Houlihan, Moorfield; midfield, Kevin Feely, Athai; and Aaron Masterson, Moorfield; half forward line, Connor Hartley, Sarsfields; Fergal Conway, Selbridge; Neil Flynn, Maynooth; and the full forward line, Dara Kerwin, Nace; Ben McCormack, Sarsfields; Jimmy Highland, Ballyteague.
Indeed, and before we just go back to Tommy there, we'll have full commentary of that game on Sunday, of course, in association with Hannon Concrete Products of Robertstown, and our commentary team as usual, Ger McNally, Peter McConnan and Johnny Doyle. In regards to that, the Kildare ladies team has also been announced, and we'll have that in a couple of minutes time. But back to you, Tommy, in terms of this ladies particular match on Sunday. Unfortunately, clash of times, because the ladies are in All-Ireland Intermediate Championship action on Sunday, following a very good win against Roscommon last week to set up a meeting with the team that beat them in the Division 3 league final in Baltinglass a couple of weeks ago. Laois. Let's hear from their manager following that Roscommon win, Daniel Moynihan.
I think both teams were kind of filling each other out in the first 10 minutes or so, and it was a case of, you know, we were kind of finding gaps in each other's armour. I think both teams kind of settled into, you know, the defensive shape that they need to be in, and it became a little bit more difficult. But I think with ourselves, I think we kept finding those holes and kept prodding and, you know, kept the scoreline ticking over. So really impressed with what we've done.
Good win for Kildare against Roscommon, who would have fancied their chances, certainly. And this is a group of three teams, of course. Now, they're playing Laois on Sunday, Tommy, unfortunately clashing directly at 2 o'clock. The game is in MW Higher Park, O'Moore Park in Port Laois. We'll try and keep people abreast of the scores anyway during the men's game in Croke Park. But for Kildare, if they beat Laois on Sunday, they're guaranteed an All-Ireland Intermediate Football Championship quarter-final spot.
They've played Laois twice now this year, beating, I think, 3 points in the earlier on in the league and then in the league final. But that league final, there was only 1 point in it. Granted, it was a late goal from Kildare that got them so close, but there was very little in that game. And probably last week's game would have brought on Kildare. And I'd say they won't. I'd say they'll go down to Port Laois now on Sunday. Won't be short of confidence. They're due one win out of three now. They'd settle for that very easily.
Cutting across you, Tommy. Notable in the last game was that some of the more experienced players, like Michaela McKenna and Erica Burke, both of those were introduced. So that kind of bit of steel coming into the team as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, there was a. The Roscommon game was Nessa Dooley and Lara Curran were there.
Oh, yeah.
They scored 110 between 110 or 111.
Nessa Dooley was outstanding.
Like that again.
Yeah. Nessa Dooley got 1-5 in that game, including a key penalty, I think. And Laura Gilbert got 5 points as well. So really, their key, as is, of course, the likes of Lauren Murta on the half-back line as well. Indeed. And Tommy, we'll just leave it there because we've got that team has just been announced. It was announced yesterday, actually, but Owen has that team now.
Yeah, in goals, Dervla McGinn, Maynooth, full-back line, Claire Sullivan, Carberry, Laois Lenehan, Kill, Mia Doherty, Leixlip, half-back line, Lauren Murta, Milltown, Lara Gilbert, Kildangan, Nerney, Hazel McLaughlin, Eadstown, middle of the field, Siobhan O'Sullivan and Gráinne Keneally, both of Eadstown, half-forward line, Kira Wheeler, St. Lawrence's, Lara Curran, Milltown and Grace Clifford, Eadstown, and the full-forward line, Ellen Dowling, Suncroft, Nessa Dooley, Castle Dermot, Aoife Rattigan, Kappa.
So for coverage of all those games and much more, including the Open Golf, all the racing over the weekend, it's Sportsbeat tomorrow afternoon between 2 and 6 with Owen Beattie. Full commentary of the hurling game with Gerard Mark Maloney. And then on to Sunday, Sportsbeat between 2 and 6, presented this Sunday by Paul Power, featuring as a centrepiece full commentary of the men's game in Croke Park, Gerard, Johnny and Peter. And we'll keep you updated on the women's game as well.